Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about herbs. And our guest is Cammie McBride. Her wonderful book is titled The Herbal Kitchen. Now what Cammie's done is taken 50 herbs that we can find just about anywhere. And she's got all kinds of wonderful information to go with it. So we'll even be sharing perhaps some recipes with you out of her delightful book. Cammie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Cammie, I was chatting with a woman just last night who found herself getting involved in what's appearing to be a career associated with herbs in a healing aspect, and it just has sort of flowed into her life in ways that she would never have imagined. And so she's really enjoying this journey of discovering all of the different properties of herbs. You yourself, how did you find yourself doing what you love, working with herbs? Was it just something that maybe your grandmother or your mother taught you about, or is it something that because of a certain physiological change in your life, you decided you wanted to explore them? How did it come about for you?
Well, it definitely 25 years ago, it wasn't really an option. Everybody just thought I was crazy, and now it was. I'm so glad for this woman because it's really become an option. But for me, I had a very close friend die from side effects from pharmaceutical medication, and there were a couple events like that in my life where I just started to ask the question, my goodness, isn't there another way?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just started to meet up with people who had been working with herbs their whole life, and there were a few teachers at that time, and so I just went and studied with everybody I could get my hands on. And, you know, it's nothing new in 75% of the rest of the world. I mean, most of the world's population still relies primarily on plant medicine for their primary, like, home health care needs. You know, everyday common ailments, scraped knees, stomach aches, headaches, those kind
right.
of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can do that. And really reduce our over-reliance on over-the-counter medications with very simple herbs that you can find in your own home right now in your spice cabinet. It's not, you don't have to, you know, get a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a very simple process.
I think that's wonderful. Now, I want my listeners to know that you're the founder of the Living Awareness Institute. And this is very much dedicated to more oriented towards women's wellness, but there's herbal studies as well. And you teach this, you have certification programs, so if any of you are out there that are interested in something like this, you'll want to check her website, livingawareness.com, out. You're a CMT, herbalist and women's health educator. You have taught at the UCSF School of Nursing in the Complementary and Alternative Medicine program. You've served as the adjunct faculty in the Integral Health Department from 1997 to 99 at the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. You have served as an instructor of herbal medicine and women's health at UC Davis, and you are currently teaching at the Solana Community College, Napa Valley Junior College, and American River College. Gee whiz, how'd you ever find time to write a book?
Well, the book is really a result of all the classes that I teach. It's the curriculum that developed out of what I saw as a very strong need, because I had hundreds of students just say, oh, I don't know anything about herbs. I don't know anything about herbal medicine. I just cook with them. And I just saw this, you know, light go on of that all these women, all these men, all these people are using herbal medicine in their food,
mm-hmm.
but didn't realize it. And so I wrote The Herbal Kitchen to help people realize that when they put sage with their turkey, when they put cinnamon on their oatmeal, when they use oregano in their spaghetti sauce, they are using herbal medicine. They are using therapeutic herbs in a preventive way to enhance the wellness of their family. And so, I wrote that for all of my students to really help them realize that we already know, we already have some of the wisdom within us. We just have to realize it.
I had to chuckle when I read your paragraph in here. I'll share it. I'll read it verbatim. There's an extraordinary pharmacy waiting for you right in your own kitchen. With just a handful of herbs, you can begin to fortify the nutrient and therapeutic density of your meals. You add valuable vitamins, minerals, and digestive aids to your food, and it takes very little effort. I think of the herb fennel, and you mentioned oregano and basil. And coming from an Italian background, my goodness, you wouldn't think twice about, you know, that just goes in automatically. That's just there.
Exactly.
Garlic and parsley and onions. My husband will often joke, he says, this is the onion queen. She's always got onions in everything. But, you know, this is something I feel very fortunate about, because in Italian cuisine, these are just things that you do, and the food is simmered, and cinnamon is used. And I know in Greece, among the Greeks, cinnamon is used quite frequently in spaghetti sauce. I could never acquire a taste for that because of my inclination. But they do. They use that. So people have used these things in food, and without them, food is very bland as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, this is a great launching point, because there are, I mean, even people that don't have, you know, that in Italian heritage, people associate, you know, you always put mint with lamb, and you always put apples with pork, applesauce, and cinnamon, and there are spices that are already, we associate with different foods, and we think that they're for flavor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are, however, we have to go beyond thinking that they're just in there for flavor, because they are really in there for several reasons, but two primary reasons. And one is that all of those things that you talked about, fennel and cinnamon, they're carminatives. It's an herbal term. Carminative means that it enhances your digestive capacity. So these herbs are very powerful carminatives, and without them, that spaghetti sauce and that lamb and that whatever you ate would just sit in your stomach like a wet log.
Interesting.
So we spice up our food in order to be able to digest it. Food digestion is a very expensive process for the body. It takes a lot of energy, and when we don't have well-spiced foods, that, you know, fast food's a problem in itself, but one of the a very big problem with it is that we're using chemicals in that food and instead of spices. And that's why you don't feel very good after you eat food that hasn't been well spiced, because you just can't digest it well. And the other thing about garlic and onions and fennel and all of these herbs is that they are highly, highly antimicrobial, meaning they're antibacterial and antiviral. And if you looked at your food under a microscope, you wouldn't want to eat it. It's full of pathogens. However, we have an immune system that helps us with that. But these herbs are very antimicrobial. Rosemary is antifungal, antiviral, and antibacterial. And so it helps to kill and put foodborne pathogens in check. So it's very important to, anytime you're eating any kind of meat, to make sure you've got that fennel or that rosemary or thyme and oregano to put the foodborne pathogens in check and also help you to be able to digest the protein and the fat in the food.
You bring up some excellent points, and let's just jump back a few, well, it could be just 150 years or even actually 100 years, and it could be in today's world, but it's not as likely as it was. Food could not be preserved very readily unless you lived in Alaska in a frozen state. People usually use salt or sugar to be able to preserve foods, or smoked their foods. Well, when we got refrigeration, that offered us an alternative, and today most of us have the luxury, and I call it a luxury because it really is, most people in the world don't have it. We have freezers. We can put stuff in the freezer and preserve food that way, or we can can it, which is another way that it was done. So in the days of old, many times that meat had been sitting around for a while. If it wasn't smoked right away, it would turn very, very quickly, depending on the environment you were living in. And lots of times, they do use spices to cover up the rancid, you know, the rancid taste of meat. It would be gross otherwise.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, rosemary helps to in any kind of marinating that we even do today. It's important because, again, of our food production, the more hands that touch your food, the more problematic things can become. And so packing that meat in some rosemary and sage and thyme is preventive health. It's preventive medicine. It's health and wellness for your home and for your family. Practicing preventive care in your food preparation. These herbs are also their antimicrobial properties. They're cold and flu, anti-cold and flu. And so this time of year, it's just really important to really garnish your food with lots of antimicrobial herbs, sage, thyme, rosemary, garlic. They prevent flu. They prevent colds. And so these herbs, they're, most people have them up in the cupboard somewhere, and so we need to bring them out more than, you know, for Thanksgiving or and really, you know, any of your recipes that call for those things, you can double the culinary herbs, really. And what I like to have people do, or what I really suggest, is that you get a Lazy Susan, just a small Lazy Susan, and put it in the middle of the table, and go beyond salt and pepper.
I think that's a marvelous idea.
And just have salt. We have salt pepper shakers full of cinnamon and cardamom that goes on our yogurt and desserts. And then we have a whole thing of rosemary, thyme, basil powdered that goes on rice and tacos. That's really delicious. And so we garnish with these herbs. And when they're on your table, it's like nobody can resist.
And I think that's a great idea.
It is. You can put turmeric in a salt shaker and put that in your tuna fish and chicken salad. And so then instead of it being up in the cupboard, it's on your table. And so every meal, we put paprika on almost all of our dinners. And so then you start using the herbs more lavishly in your meals. And it's delightful. And one of the things is that you also, if you have children around, it really teaches them. And that's what you want. You want your children to start learning how to use herbs for themselves.
Let's talk about a few herbs that most people are going to be familiar with. And what I love about your book is that you give the botanical term, the part of the herb that is used. You give gardening tips. You give the properties of it and also how it can be used. And it's just all kinds of suggestions you have in here, which I just love. Let's talk about allspice. Because this is a berry that is from the tropics. And when you think of this, these herbs come from around the world. And they are just incredible in their history. But usually people will pull out the allspice during fall, winter, because of pumpkin pies. I mean, it's just that flavor they associate with certain foods. Tell us how it serves us in wellness. And how we can use it.
Well, again, allspice is something that probably everybody that's listening to us already has. And like you said, it comes out during eggnog and pumpkin pie season. And really, it's something that can be used all year round. I mean, it's great in mulled cider, absolutely. But powdered allspice is, you can put a quarter teaspoon of it in your pancake mix, your muffins, your cookies, your biscuits, your waffles, anything that you're using flour with, any kind of cakes, you can add allspice into the flour mixture. And allspice is an incredible digestive aid. It's a very powerful carminative. It helps you to digest your food. It eliminates gas and bloating and headaches. And again, it's another one of these very, very powerful antibacterial herbs. So you add it to your food, it helps to fight off infections, cold, flu, bacteria. You know, I mean, it's cold and flu season. People are concerned. And these herbs you know, when we use them, they help us. They help. It's also a very warming herb, so it can help to keep you warm this time of year. You can put just a dash of it in your tea or coffee or, you know, whatever warm drink you're drinking. And it's just, it's so simple. And it's as simple as, again, just putting it in a salt shaker and having it nearby. You can also salt shaker it onto your waffles or onto your oatmeal or warm grain breakfast. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Well, one of my favorite spices, and I'm pulling it up right now, is cayenne. And my husband sometimes will look at me and say, oh, is she going for that one again? Because he has vivid memories. And this is going to sound a little bit mean, but his mother, who had 10 kids, she found one of the most effective ways of disciplining them, especially if they lied, she'd give them a teaspoon of cayenne pepper in their mouth. You know what? They don't lie.
I think I might try that one, actually.
So he has memories of cayenne pepper that are just not especially, but he really enjoys the spice. But he said he got so he could eat a lot of hot food, and it never bothered him. But I just had to insert that because it's just so funny. But anyhow, not when he
probably
was experiencing.
Child abuse now.
yeah, right. That's what they'd call it. But it worked. He and his siblings, lying is not a part of their itinerary.
Oh,
anyway, the cayenne pepper is just amazing because I think for flavor it's fabulous. I just love it. And I love the heat from it. But, wow, it is a powerhouse. And give us some information about cayenne pepper.
Yes, well, cayenne pepper is another one of those that we have on our Lazy Susan in the middle of the table. And so it goes on rice, and it goes in soups, and it really does add flavor, and it helps to release flavor of other food. But it's very nutritive. It's high in vitamin C. And
oh.
It's incredibly antimicrobial, again, antibacterial, and it's an herb that we call vulnerary, which helps to heal the skin tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so cayenne, it helps soothe and heal problematic, you know, stuff with the mucous membrane internally. And so it's a very, very healing herb, and it's been used, you know, for many different things. And it's one of the herbs that if you have any kind of congestion, like if you've got a cold or a runny nose, it will clear that out. So if you feel something coming on at the very onset, you can add cayenne to your soup, and it will clear out your nasal passages and clear out all that mucus and avert a cold.
And wow,
it's a really good cold remedy.
Absolutely. I wonder if wasabi does the same thing.
Absolutely. Everybody knows what that herb clears.
Oh, wasabi is something else, I'll tell you. Let's talk about, and I was just joking about wasabi there, but garlic. Now, all of us know how important garlic is. I mean, in European history, people wore cloves of garlic around their neck to ward off disease. I mean, it was just, garlic has been almost worshipped because of its value. But you say it is antibacterial, antifungal, antioxidant, I mean, antispasmodic. There is so much that is so beneficial to garlic. This is a terrific food additive.
It is, and I definitely, in the herbal kitchen, I definitely profile this herb and have lots of recipes with it. And, you know, again, it's something that in most of the world, people still have this information, and we really fell in love with the whole, just really fell in love with pharmaceutical medicine, and it definitely has its place. But the herbs, they hold a place as equal within the home, and our ability to take care of, you know, avert colds and flu, everyday common ailments. Garlic helps prevent cardiovascular disease. And so what I try to help people think about is, you know, what did your grandmother cook with, or what did your great-grandmother cook with, or are there any recipes in your family where they were using herbs or herbal medicine, or do you have an elder in your family that still has that information, and to get it, to go get it, and to not let it die, and to interview anybody that may remember somebody, and to really bring it back into the household where this where it belongs, so that families, you know, can use the herbs in a way that are preventive, because that's really where they can help us. It's, you know, it's not waiting for us to become sick, but to use the herbs in an everyday way to prevent illness. And garlic is one of the perfect herbs. You put it in so many different things, and it is good for high blood pressure. It's good for all kinds of cardiovascular problems, and it's antifungal, and it helps you. You know, it's endless what it can do for you. And to just to remember how much the herbs are there for us in our own kitchen.
You have here a recipe for winter cold honey. And, oh, my goodness, it seems like everywhere you go, somebody's sniffling, sneezing, coughing. NyQuil commercials are around you all the time and at this time of the year. But you have here the winter cold honey. And as you said, instead... let me just read it from your book. Many spaghetti and red sauces for lasagna, manicotti, and other Italian pasta dishes call for sugar in their recipes. Instead of sugar, you can add 1 to 2 tablespoons of this honey to your red pasta sauce. Use it in your sauces, marinade, soups, and salad dressings to keep away winter colds. Now, I'm going to read the recipe because this was just amazing to me. I've never heard of this before. A cup of honey, 2 tablespoons of powdered garlic, 2 tablespoons of powdered rosemary, 1 tablespoon of powdered thyme, 1 teaspoon of powdered sage, and 1 teaspoon of powdered oregano. Whoa, that is potent. Could you just drink it as a tea? Could you put it in hot water? Will it be effective for colds that way too?
You could. So you put all these herbs dried and powdered, and you mix them well into the honey, and then it's stable for, you know, a year, and you've got this antimicrobial, very wonderful culinary honey that, again, could be put in your spaghetti sauce, it could be put in your chicken marinade, or, as you're saying, you could put a teaspoon or a tablespoon in a cup of hot water and drink it for colds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's already made up. It's very simple, and it has... you know, culinary uses, cold and flu uses, and so it's, again, the Herbal Kitchen is full of recipes like this that you pre-make condiments so that the herbs are ready to use in your daily cooking, daily food preparation.
Another herb that I wanted to discuss about, and again, this is common, and her book, The Herbal Kitchen, I'm telling you, it's just good reading. I mean, you go through this, and you go, wow, and her suggestions about putting the herbs on a Lazy Susan, having them in a shaker container, whoa, that is really great. I think that's a terrific idea. Let's talk about ginger, because there has been controversy about the use of ginger. Now, in the Asian countries, ginger is something that is in so many of their dishes, and fresh ginger just has a wonderful flavor, makes a great tea. But let's talk about ginger's value.
Okay, well, ginger, first of all, it's one of our best carminatives. It really helps you to digest whatever you're eating. And it's very specific for pathogens that you find in seafood. And that's why when you go to eat sushi, it's very important to eat the ginger with the raw fish. It's not just for flavor. It is to help your body process anything that might be going bad in the fish. Very, very important. And that's why, again, you find ginger with salmon and so many in so many seafood dishes, because it really helps. It really kills the foodborne pathogens in the seafood. But also, ginger is very good for nausea. There's many studies showing, for seasickness and car sickness and motion sickness, even just a little tiny bit of ginger can help you with that. And it's also one of our best herbs, our very best herbs for dissolving phlegm and mucus. So if you eat dairy, or if you eat a heavy meal, or anything that you eat that causes mucus or post-nasal drip, or that kind of, you know, mucusy feeling that many people get after a heavy meal, you can drink ginger tea, or you can use one of the, like, the ginger honeys. And the ginger helps to dissolve the phlegm and mucus, which is very, very important, because accumulation of phlegm and mucus is a predisposition for bacteria settling and catching cold or flu. So it's very, very good for keeping things moving and not letting any of that mucus accumulate in your body. Very important herb.
Well, that probably would be very beneficial for someone who is a performer. If they have, let's say, that kind of feel around their vocal cords, because there is sinus drainage or something like that. So a ginger tea would be just wonderful for them.
Yeah, anybody that has post-nasal drainage and, you know, mucus, ginger helps to dissolve mucus, and so it's a very good herb for that, yes.
Well, let's also go into an item I don't know that a lot of people would have in their herb cabinet, mugwort. Harry Potter had it. So what do we need to know about mugwort?
Okay, mugwort is not one that most people have in their cabinet. So the Herbal Kitchen profiles your spice cabinet, things that you already have, and then also things that are easy to grow. And there are many herbs that are very, very easy to grow, and mugwort is one of them. And that's one of the reasons why it's in this book. And I like using mugwort because I make an oil with it. And we use the oil for massage and muscle tension and, muscle cramps and aches and pains, and it warms and relaxes the muscles, and that's the main reason why it's good to have mugwort around if you can grow it.
And herbal waters. You have so much good information in your book. This
Thank
is
you.
Something where people are paying a fortune.
Absolutely.
For all kinds of concoctions that hardly have anything in them at all. And $2, $3, $4, $5 a bottle for stuff, and there's really nothing, in all honesty, in it. And yet they're buying into it, but you have got some fabulous recipes in here about how people can make herbal water. And it's so simple.
Correct. Yeah, herbal waters and herbal drinks. One of the places where we're really going wrong in our healthcare is what we drink. Every time you drink something, you have the option to contribute to your health and wellness or make your body sicker. And we are giving sodas to children and fruit juice to children and creating an epidemic of diabetes and disease in this upcoming generation. And I just want a campaign to say no to soda and all the designer drinks that are full of high fructose corn syrup and things that are not good for you, and make your own drinks. You can save lots of money, and when you use herbs and fruits in the drinks that you make at home, it's an opportunity for increasing your mineral and vitamin content and healing yourself. So you can just do simple things like whatever fruit is in season, you can put a few slices of that fruit, or you can put just a few pieces of whatever fresh herbs you have growing, like basil or lemon verbena or orange rind. Right now where we live, the oranges are just, they're falling off the trees, and so we wash the orange, we eat the inside, and then we chop up the rind and put orange rinds in the water, and it has this delicious, delicious citrusy flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, if you were to buy it at the store, again, one of the ways if people are really concerned about their budget is to make your own drinks and teas at home.
Turmeric. And I know we've just got a couple of minutes left here. Turmeric is a wonderful herb that really assists the body in battling cancer. And there's just been so much wonderful research on this herb. Give us some information. It's actually a root.
Correct. It is a root, and you can buy it dried. And in some health food stores, you can actually get the fresh root now. And turmeric is one of the herbs that we have powdered and in a salt shaker on our table. And it goes on our rice, it goes in our soups, it goes in salads. And you can just eat it. It has a very mild flavor, and you can sprinkle it on just about any kind of savory dish. And it's a very powerful carminative, helping you to digest anything that you eat. And it's also one of the herbs that is very important in clearing stagnation in the liver. Our modern stress diet and poor food, we have a lot of liver stagnation that creates a lot of problems, and turmeric is very, very healing for the liver. And so if you just incorporate it I have it in a lot of honeys and oils in the Herbal Kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and you can just incorporate it into all kinds of your savory dish meal preparations.
Well, Cammy, you have so much wonderful information in your book, The Herbal Kitchen. I love the layout on this, because someone can just
read it at their leisure. I think it'd make good bedtime reading myself. But and I'm not saying that to be negative. I think that being aware that you have some options in your kitchen that can enhance your health, make foods taste delicious, and Cammie's got all kinds of wonderful recipes that you can check out yourself. The honeyed recipes are absolutely awesome. She's even got something in here for popcorn honey and this is healthy. This is something that with yourself and with kids, this is good for you. But it tastes good. You know, it's sort of like Mother Donna telling you, okay, it's good for you. You got to take it. Now, look, this is good stuff. She's even got recipes for cordials. All kinds of good things. Cammie, what's your website?
It's livingawareness.com. That's www.livingawareness.com. And the Herbal Kitchen is available on my website. It's in most bookstores, and it's also available on Amazon.com.
Well, I think you've done a terrific job. Are you working on another book now?
Oh, right now I'm just enjoying this one and getting this one out to people.
Well, I think it's awesome.
I do a lot of teaching, so I'm my classes, I'm very focused on my students.
The Herbal Kitchen by Cammie McBride, 50 easy-to-find herbs, and you've got over 250 recipes that you can float through. It's good information. I learned a lot, and I think you'll want to add this to your collection of material that will inform you and enable you for a very small amount of money to enjoy good health. That's what it's all about. Food is medicine when you use it correctly. Cammie, thank you for being my guest. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo, The Herbal Kitchen by Cammie McBride. Go to livingawareness.com. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in to, if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I'm going to be giving out some more astrological forecasts for 2011. And these are just sort of general. They're fun to read, though, and I get a kick out of it. So we've covered Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and I believe
we got to Libra. Well, maybe we didn't get to Libra. You know, I don't think we did get to Libra. So we've got the first half of the year, but now we're going to have to get into the second half. And by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Oh, I also wanted to remind you the newsletter is going to be up on my website. So if you have not received it via email, and by the way, if you want to get a free email newsletter from me, I'm happy to provide that to you. All you have to do is send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And I'm more than delighted to add you to the mailing list, and it goes out at the first, around the first of every month. And so that gives you a listing of the guests that are coming up and all kinds of little goodies and details. This month in the newsletter, I have this fascinating item that was sent to me, and it is an optical illusion and how the eyes work. And when you do the exercise, there's a link, and when you go and you do the exercise, you look at something on screen, and then you look at your hand that's on the mouse. And it is unreal. It really is fascinating. So I included that in my newsletter, and there's some other odds and ends of things, too. So if you'd like, just send me an email, Donna at DelphiInternational.com, and I'll be glad to put you on the mailing list. Okay, let's go for Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. Yes, let's do that so we can get... Now, this is a generalized reading for the year 2011, so we'll be talking about winter, spring, summer, and fall. And this is just very loose generalizations. I always like this stuff. It's so much fun. Okay, for those of you under the sign of Libra, you are going to be achieving your goals. That's right. During this winter period, you are hustling. You're determined to get things done. Stay focused, and you will. When it comes to springtime, you are going to find that change is going to be coming in its own strength. So you need to really make sure you don't procrastinate and leave things to the last minute. And when it comes to summer, you're going to find that because of due diligence, your money matters will be improving. But you've got to stay focused. That's the biggest thing for you. Also, in the fall, you apparently are going to be enjoying more social activity, and that social activity is going to bring you in contact with some very, very special people. So be aware what you're doing right now. Keep yourself focused, and you'll come out ahead in this year of 2011. For those of you born under the sign of Scorpio this winter period, well, you're going to find it's going to be tempting to spend more than you should, but be aware. Make sure you put a lock on the piggy bank, or you make sure that you set something up so you cannot touch it. If you're wanting to get into investing, check what it is that you want to work with, but be consistent. A little bit of money put aside on a regular basis is better than just sporadically trying to do something in a big way. So be consistent with your savings. Now, when it comes to spring, you're going to really want to beef up your financial education, because you're going to have to look at where it is that you really want to put your energies when it comes to creating the level of financial security that you would like to enjoy. And when it comes to relationships, you're going to find yourself really during the summer very, very intensely focused, whether you have a significant other already or you are wanting a significant other. Personal relationships are going to be coming into the forefront during the summer period. And in the fall, career, you are really going to be determined that you want to, if you're ready for it, you're going to want to really move forward with a direction that's going to enable you to feel a level of success in what you do. So you want to have a passionate purpose that is really going to drive your energy and your enthusiasm. Now, what if you were born under the sign of Sagittarius? Well, winter, you could really do well during the winter season this year. If you pay attention to opportunity when it knocks, you are going to find that it's going to serve you well. Also, you're going to be more discriminating about the people you choose to share your personal life and business environment with. You're going to be very discerning and very discriminating. You're not going to try to spread yourself too thin. Now, in the spring, apparently, your creative juices are really going to flow. For those of you born under the sign of Sagittarius, you are going to want, you get bored very easily, so you're going to want to be involved in some innovative turns of thinking, and this is very positive for you, because what happens is that during the summer, you are going to say, I am really wanting to have my life have more zest and more enthusiasm in a creative manner, and you're also going to be very prudent with your money. You're really going to pay attention to where you put those dollars. And in the fall, well, it seems like all of your creativeness, your enthusiasm, your energy, your conservative attitude relative to money is going to pay off, because you are going to see a better financial picture in the fall of 2011 than you actually saw in 2010. So this is a very positive period for those of you under the sign of Sagittarius. So that's general. I've got three signs left, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And we'll probably be covering those before the end of the week. Well, I know that we're going to be going on break in just a moment, so let me give you some information about the guest we're going to be having tomorrow. Linda Carpini is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about Bear Speaks. Bear Speaks. This is a fascinating book, and Linda is just a doll, and I think you are going to enjoy what she wants to share with you about how you can empower your life, and we will be going into detail about that, and with a lot of enthusiasm. So just know, also, the listing of my guests is in my newsletter. We've been having a challenge with our computer, so I haven't been able to put the information up on the show information site on BBS. As soon as I can, that is going to be in. So we're hoping to have that done before the end of the week. But be that as it may, you can go in on my newsletter site, on DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find out about the list of guests. And as soon as I can, I will get the write-ups about the guests that I have coming up for the rest of the month, because we have a power-packed month with information. It's just absolutely wonderful. We're going to be taking a break here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. And I've got some information on some famous people whose actions were a little bit unusual. The results were predictable, but also somebody that had a what you would be described as a waking dream or vision. I'll give you that information when we come back in a little bit more. But you can talk with me too, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on RawEnergyRadio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on RawEnergyRadio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Thank you. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want you to know phone line is open, 888-815-9756. So this is the information that I have here that I thought was pretty fascinating. See, G.H. Lewis, yes, he's the companion of novelist George Eliot, had a story about a very famous author that we're pretty much all familiar with, and that's Charles Dickens. Dickens apparently had a dream that he was in a room where everyone was dressed in scarlet. And in this dream, he stumbled against a lady who was standing with her back towards him. Now, he apologized. She turned her head to him and said, or towards him, "My name is Napier." Now, Charles Dickens didn't know anyone that had that name. The face wasn't known to him. 2 days later, before he was to give a reading, a lady friend came into his waiting room accompanied by an unknown woman in a scarlet opera cloak. "The unknown woman," said his friend, "is very determined of being introduced." "Not Miss Napier?" he jokingly inquired. "Yes, Miss Napier." Now, although the face of the woman Dickens had seen in his dream was not the face of the actual Miss Napier, the coincidence of the scarlet cloak and the name that he knew from the dream, he couldn't figure out. There was no logical form to this at all. Also, there is a story about Agatha Christie. I don't know if you're a fan of the Agatha Christie series, but I sure am. I absolutely love Hercule Poirot and all of the Agatha Christie programs that have been put on PBS. My husband and I both enjoy them thoroughly. Well, Agatha Christie was quite a character. Not only was she a superb mystery writer, but she was one that would do a bit of the unusual herself. She apparently pulled off a real-life hoax that was very much the equal of anything that she ever wrote with her mystery novels. She found out that her husband was leaving her for another woman. So she set up deliberately an incriminating scene that almost got him arrested for her murder. Yes, this is true. Luckily for him, there was an employee at a distant seaside hotel that saw some news photos of Agatha Christie and recognized her as the woman who had slipped into the hotel under an assumed name. Now, Agatha Christie said she had amnesia, but the police were not too happy about having wasted a week of searching rivers and bogs for her body. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it just got to her. She figured that if she could write things that were so well done, she might be able to live the experience. You never know. People are really, really interesting. Donna Sebo here, and I want to say that there's just all kinds of good things going on, but there is an error on my part that I need to admit to all of you that have been listening. I was supposed to have Verne Chappelle on about The Sexual Outlaw Erotic Mystic. That's an absolutely awesome book. And somehow or another, the schedule got turned around, and I'm going to see if I can have them on tomorrow. Now, this is totally my fault. They were announced for Tuesday, and I'm going to have Verne Chappelle on Thursday, tomorrow, if I can reach the person, and I do apologize for this, because this is my error, totally. So I just discovered that, and again, I heartily apologize to you, so I'm going to see if I can get the gentleman on my show tomorrow. If not, we will reschedule him for another date. Donna Sebo here, give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a story with you about a very, very well-known man. His name is Dr. Ben Carson. And I was aware of Dr. Ben Carson and his accomplishments because he, in 1987, separated German twins that were joined at the back of their heads. And 10 years later, he was part of another team that separated Zambian twins, joined at the tops of their heads. And it was the very first time an operation of this type had ever been successful with two babies joined at the top of the head like this. And I think his story is quite an impressive one. This man is not arrogant in any way. He is absolutely brilliant in everything that he does. But knowing the background behind him and his story, I think is worth telling about. Because he was born in Detroit. His mother and his older brother, Curtis, were very, very close. And when he was in elementary school, grade-wise, he was at the bottom of his class. And he went through a lot of difficult times because he thought he was stupid. And he didn't think that he could ever learn what other people learn seemingly so easily. So he went through a lot of bullying and had some pretty tough times. But his mother did something, because television was very much something that the boys enjoyed. She only allowed them to watch a very limited amount, two programs a week. And when he was in fifth grade, his mother required both of her sons to turn in two book reports each week, despite only having a third grade education herself. So she encouraged them and demanded that they develop good reading skills. And as it turned out, it became a lifelong love of his. He said, "If for all of those years you think you're stupid and then you think you're smart, it's like winning the lottery. It's really better than winning the lottery." He said it just made such a difference for him, and he ended up going to the top of his class. This is a man who ended up having a total different attitude about himself, about his life. He said, "We were born into poverty, but poverty was a choice, and we chose not to stay in it." So he graduated with honors from high school and attended Yale University, where he earned a degree in psychology. And next, he went to medical school at the University of Michigan, where his love of the brain shifted from less tangible psychology to the more visual neurosurgery. And he had superb eye-hand coordination and great 3D visualization skills. And he said there were only a handful of African-American neurosurgeons in the world, and he was one. So this is a story of a man who at a young age realized that he had choices, and he developed good skills for reading and for learning due to a mother who really believed in the potential of her children and demanded that they become good readers. And he's gone on to do so much good for so many people in the world. Dr. Ben Carson, he's the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. You can find out more about him at carsonscholars.org. He has a special scholarship program for young people. And this is a man that I have a great deal of respect for because he is, well, one, a very good person, but also he's walked the walk, not just talked the talk, but walked the walk of being the best he could be, but also encouraging others to be their best, too. He supports a lot of good scholarship programs. Donna Sebo here. I know we're just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining me today. And tomorrow, we should have a guest, if I'm able to reach them, that will be talking about the sexual outlaw and the erotic mystic. This is Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.